Everybody ready?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to call to order the Planning Commission meeting on Monday, February 25th for the City of Goleta. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, will the clerk please call the roll?
Thank you. Commissioner Daniels?
Present.
Commissioner Sheeler?
Present.
Commissioner Solomon? Vice Chair West?
Present.
Chair Wallace?
Okay, next up is the public forum. This is the time for any member of the public to address the commission on an item that is not on today's agenda. Do we have any speaker slips?
No.
Okay, we'll move on then. Staff, are there any amendments or adjustments to today's agenda? No? Okay. So for the next agenda item, will the clerk please read the next item into the record?
Item A1 is Planning Commission Organization. Elect the 2013 chair and vice chair.
All right, so I think those present have decided to go forward with this unless anyone has an objection.
Madam Chair, I'd like to go ahead and go forward with this, and I would like to nominate you as the chair for this next year.
I would gladly second that, Madam Chair.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Be happy to take that role. Well, I would like to nominate Commissioner Daniels for the position of vice chair.
And I'd be glad to second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
I just want to thank you for that.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we'll move on to the next agenda item. Will the clerk please read out the next item into the record?
Item B1 is the Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of January 28th, 2013.
Motion to approve as is.
That motion is seconded, please.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, that also passes. We're flying through here. All right, so now we are moving on to the discussion action item agenda. Will the clerk please read agenda C1 into the record?
Item C1 is the general plan annual report.
Okay.
Good evening, Chair and Planning Commissioners. Tonight I'm providing you with a summary of the General Plan Annual Progress Report for 2012. As you know, we prepare a report each year that's required to be submitted to the state by April 1st of each year, and that's required under Government Code. Government Code Section 65400. And the Government Code specifies the content. We're to provide a status of our general plan and also progress on the general plan implementation. In 2012, the general plan was amended twice. So there's two general plan amendments, one for the Willow Springs 2 residential project, and that was for some environmentally sensitive habitat area layers, some tsunami hazard run-up layers, some mapping issues, and some park general plan amendments, edits to the map. We also had a general plan amendment for the West Star Mixed Use Project, and that was a land use designation change. And with those two general plan amendments, we have now amended our general plan 11 times since we adopted our general plan in 2006, and 5 of those amendments were city-initiated general plan amendments. In 2012, we initiated one general plan amendment for consideration, and that is also a city-initiated general plan amendment, and it's related to a parcel in Old Town that would be for a potential future park site. So the Old Town Park site, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the presentation. And we have four general plan amendments that are pending. Three have are related to land use or residential type policy, and that's for the Shelby Trust, the Kenwood Village, and the Village at Los Carneros projects. And then we also have another land use designation change that's being studied right now, and that's for the Target Corporation site. So I'm going to summarize implementation progress by element, and just to hit the highlights of what we've accomplished in 2012, which was quite substantial. So starting with the land use element, the land use element calls for the zoning code update. And what we did in 2012 was maintain our municipal code, and with that we had 14 amendments. And two of those were related to the formation of two commissions, one a Park and Recreation Commission and another a Public Tree Advisory Commission. And we also adopted a green building code. We added a definition for live-work units. And then we also amended the municipal code to support Measure H, and that was for the transient occupancy tax. That's not the 14, but just kind of hitting some of the relevant ones for you tonight. We also amended our zoning map twice. And of course, our new zoning code is a work in progress, so we're in the thick of working on our zoning code. And we hope to bring that to you soon. Our open space element, there's a policy that an implementation action that requires that we form an open space district and acquire 18 parcels on the south end of Matilda Drive, and that is for the purpose of expanding the acreage of Elwood Mesa into some environmentally sensitive habitat areas. And in 2012, we made one purchase, so now we own four of the 18 parcels, and we're in negotiations for two more parcels. There's a series of requirements for management plans or park plans, and the general plan amendment that I had just mentioned for the Old Town Park is in design right now. So that's been workshopped before the public and is proceeding with evaluating the general plan amendment. We have an adopted management plan for Elwood Mesa, and we did a lot of work in 2012 on Elwood Mesa. First, we just continued our butterfly docent program, and we're bringing the annual presentation to the council in the second meeting in March. So you might want to tune in if you want to hear the status of how that program is going. And we also prepared a draft butterfly habitat management plan, and that plan is in progress. A lot of research was done to prepare that plan, and the map on the screen shows you where the habitats are from our Elwood Mesa open space plan that we have been studying. And we just do our ongoing maintenance on Elwood Mesa, such things as cleaning up some of the where there's steep erosion, where we can just repair it with hand tools, and weekly cleanup of trash. So we're out there once or twice a week going out and cleaning up trash and other things. Also on Elwood Mesa, we have the Elwood Trails and Habitat Restoration Design Project, and that's for the Coastal Trail and the Juan Batista De Anza Trail. So on the screen is the map that was brought before the public at two workshops in 2012. So you'll be hearing more about that in the future. Lake Los Carneros also has a management plan, and we've been working to implement that. A lot of what we do on Lake Los Carneros is weeding and restoration, and a lot of the public participates, so we're very fortunate to have a strong volunteer base to help us with our open space areas, especially Lake Los Carneros. So we had the six community weeding events. And we also did some trail grooming out and trying to maintain those trails so that they're properly draining stormwater and not developing potholes and ruts. And when I say we are doing all of this, I really mean we with our partners, and that's the Channel Islands Restoration is a nonprofit, and then the Santa Barbara Trails Council, also a nonprofit, and our public, because we couldn't do it without all of those groups.
Ms. Wells, a quick question before we get too deep into this. If we go back to, and you don't have to go back on the slides, but to the butterflies, I've noticed new signage, and so the we part of this, who were the we who put up the new signs for the butterfly habitat up on Hollister and pointed to the parking and other things?
As part of our public outreach for the butterflies and trying to encourage people to park at our Hollister parking lot, the city manager's office had some signs made that we looked at and as a team internally, and then put them out on the street to guide people to the Hollister parking lot. That way, people can really, we're really trying to push people there as opposed to parking on Coronado Drive, which is where some residents used to park, and the signage has really helped communicate the location of that parking lot.
Good idea. Thank you.
In 2012, we adopted a community wildfire protection plan. That was before the Planning Commission. And the next step is to write the implementation action so that we can start working on environmental review of the community fire plan. But it was a big action to take to adopt the city's first, what we call the acronyms, a CWPP, which is a standard state tool for managing wildfire. There's an implementation action that's required for the management of creeks and watersheds. And while we don't specifically have the watershed plan at this point, we do have and rely strongly upon our stormwater management plan. And we prepare an annual report each year. And as part of that report, we gear up for any reg changes. So we're looking at some state regulation changes that we're going to, that we're still working on for this next coming year for 2013. And we have, of course, have Creek Week, and that's a big event in Goleta and Santa Barbara. And we team regionally to clean up all of our creeks, so it's a big effort. We also have an implementation action that requires a tree protection ordinance. We haven't yet formed that ordinance. I'm going to explain why. So first, in 2011, we adopted an urban forest management plan. And in that is a requirement for a public tree advisory committee. And as I just said, we now have our municipal code amendment that allows us to form a public tree advisory committee. And we have, and the committee will assist in the development of the tree ordinance. So that's forthcoming. There's an implementation action for a greenhouse gas reduction plan. I know you've heard a lot about that. We've been working on it over the last couple of years. The first thing that we did in 2012 was prepare and adopt a municipal energy efficiency action plan. So that just applies to city facilities. And that's sort of the focus on energy and the benefits to reducing greenhouse gases. We're also working on a citywide climate action plan, or a CAP. And so that's in progress, and you will be seeing that hopefully soon. So we're shifting to the safety element. There's one implementation action that's just for San Jose Creek, and that is to improve the flood capacity of San Jose Creek so that Old Town will benefit through better stormwater benefits from the increased conveyance of flood flows. Here's a picture of the construction. You can see that the creek was dredged out and it's made bigger. Here's another picture. So the construction's not finished yet, but should be finished in 2013. The safety element also requires that we do annual audits of our oil and gas facilities. Our oil and gas facilities, the Elwood Onshore facility that's run by Venneco. There were 54 audit findings, which aren't really that many compared to the findings in the past. and 40 have been addressed, and there are 14 minor fixes that are in progress. And there, when I say minor, I mean things like paper, the way they file their paper, and the signing, the names who have signed things, and dates, and things like that. So really getting down to the nitty-gritty. So the 14 findings are pretty minimal that we're still working on. And so I wanted to highlight that Venico did receive a state award for safety this year, and it's a coveted award. So it was a good thing for us and the residents of Goleta to know that Venico is running their facility in a high-quality way and did receive this award. There's an implementation action that requires a multi-hazard emergency response plan. And we adopted the emergency response plan in 2012, so we now have this regional document. And we're working on an emergency operations plan that implements aspects of this multi-jurisdictional emergency response plan. So there's still more to come with this implementation action. Shifting over to our transportation element, we have 67 projects that are called for to the tune of about $210 million. And of those 67 projects, 23 are active, and about half that much, $106 million, that's a lot of money, are in play at some point. And as you can see on the picture on the screen, one of the big things that we completed in 2012 was the roundabout at Los Cuernos and Calle Real. And on kind of a smaller scale than roundabouts and overcrossings are improvements at our existing parks at Nectarine Park and Evergreen Park. So we're working on things large and small. And we received an award from the American Public Works Association, which is the Project of the Year Award for 2012. And that was for our Cathedral Oaks Interchange project. So that was a pretty big event for us. And you can see the picture on the screen is the new overcrossing and the logo, city logo, on the sidewall of the overcrossing. There's an implementation action that requires neighborhood traffic management. We now have 17 neighborhood watch programs, and we also have a school zone traffic enforcement program that is working pretty well. And so I won't go into that in any more detail, but it is a well-run program that we're receiving some very good feedback from our residents. Now we're gonna shift over to our housing element. In 2012, we approved and built and granted occupancy to 7 above moderate units at the Bluffs, and that's in Western Goleta, right north of Elwood Mesa. So those have now, and that's it for what we granted occupancy for. Not to underscore the projects that we have pending. So we have the Haskell's Landing project, which is pretty much across the street from the Bluffs project, and that's for 101 units, and they started grading. So we're hoping to see that built very soon as we start to issue their building permits. We're also processing almost 1,500 units, and that's quite a large number of units, so we're really building out in our margins. Most of our vacant sites are spoken for in that number, and a lot of our development that's on our books are residential projects, so a lot more to come here. From a housing element perspective, and probably other perspectives as well, a big event in 2012 was the dissolution of our redevelopment agency, or the RDA. And that was effective February 1st of 2012. And from a housing perspective, a lot of our funding that was used towards the to the benefit of low-income housing in our RDA area, which was mostly Old Town, was lost. We continue to seek alternative forms of funds, and I'll kind of explain that to you here in a minute. So we receive Community Development Block Grant, or CDBG, funds, and we have almost $30,000 worth of funds that were used in 2012. So we still are funding some programs for seniors and low-income youth and special needs and homeless, et cetera. So we're still getting access to money, not the same amount of money that we had with our RDA low-income funds. But we also had some city general fund expenditures, and that was mostly to homeless and warming shelters and New Beginnings in Sarah House. And those programs, those are ongoing expenditures that are often sought after by these nonprofits. And we're still supporting rental assistance programs. We have 236 low-income families that are receiving Section 8 rental assistance. And that's pretty consistent from year to year. And our general plan housing element also requires that we adopt green building programs, standards, and processes. And we did a lot in 2012. We adopted a resolution that establishes policies for city buildings for green building. And we also adopted a citywide green building code. And then we adopted the energy efficiency action plan that we already discussed. And that's it. And so, and there's more, of course, in your staff report packet, but the recommendation is that you adopt the resolution recommending to the City Council approval of the annual report so that we can send it up to the state.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wells. Before we get started with our specific questions, I did have one more general question. When the state receives this report, what'll be done with it?
The state, they load it up on their website, so their annual reports are on their website, but other than that, we don't receive letters of acknowledgement, so we don't know what they do with it.
So it's just sort of a requirement that's part of public information?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, questions?
Ms. Wells, just a quick question. Of the 1,500 units that are in process at this time, how many of those, or what is the percentage of those that are single family versus multifamily? Do you have a sense on that off the top of your head?
I think most of them are probably multifamily, not the single family, though there is a component that's single family. Like there's a table in the annual report that lists that out.
Mr. Sheeler.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ms. Wells. I appreciate this report on this annual basis. It really re-stimulates the importance of the general plan to our planning process here in Goleta and reminds us of the things that we've agreed on and the kind of things we're hoping to achieve with our general plan in the future. And I took a good look at this, and I have a series of questions that I'd like to ask of you, so I hope that you'll give me some forbearance here and endure some of these questions. Some of them may be a little bit scattered and a little bit random as I'm trying to go through your report, which was very thorough and much appreciated. Let me go ahead and start with the housing element and the certification by HCD. And I noticed that's kind of been a back and forth for many, many years. One of the critiques of Goleta early on was that we didn't have a certified housing element and all that entailed. And I know we've gotten closer and closer to reaching the real goal line. Where exactly are we in that process with HCD in terms of reaching their goal line?
So we're nearing the end of this planning cycle. So each planning cycle is a start and an end date. And when you get to the end of a planning cycle, which is in 2014, you start a new one. So we would need to submit a new housing element to the state. And that would be required, though certification is not required. And so I always try to make that clear that our requirement is to meet the standards that are established in the government code. And then certification is ideal but not mandatory. So anyway, we are getting ready to start a new housing element.
Is certification, apparently it is desirable, but is it achievable?
Sure, of course it's achievable.
Okay, because I know that you've been working on this for many years through this current housing cycle, and it looks like the cycle may end before certification occurs and a new cycle will begin anew. My next question has to do with the RH Regional Housing Needs Assessment numbers, and you mentioned in the staff report that SBCAG, have they, I guess Santa Barbara's total is lower, and so we assume that whatever passes down to the city of Goleta, our RENA numbers will actually be less than they were during the last planning cycle. Is that your understanding?
That's correct. So what's presented in the annual report is the new allocation for the regional housing needs, and that would be for the next planning cycle, and the number is much less than our current allocation, though anything you grant occupancy towards is removed from your inventory. So you theoretically will have less.
And you mentioned that the next planning cycle spans what period of time again?
It starts in 2014, and it's an eight-year cycle, so
okay,
it's different.
Okay, so this is our number for the next eight-year mm-hmm. cycle. And based on that new target that the central planners have given us, what is our zoning code currently supporting in relation to that? How many units do we actually have zoned versus the reduction in the RENA that's now being required of us?
The way our housing element is set up now with a higher regional housing needs allocation, we far exceed the zoning at 20 units per acre that meets our regional housing need allocation. So given the fact that we don't have these projects that we have on the books right now have not yet been approved or constructed, or a majority of them, theoretically we will still have them in our inventory coming up, but that remains to be seen.
I also note that there are proposed changes to CEQA. Would those have an effect on our general plan potentially? And if so, as the city is part of their strategic plan and legislative advocacy to try and forward our general plan principles and make sure that the CEQA changes are something that we want?
I'm not sure how to answer that question. It's a little broad. I'm not sure which CEQA regulations that you're talking about. So I might.
One thing that I heard was removing the visual element was potentially one thing that would be removed from CEQA analysis, and that's one thing that's been important that Goleta's adopted that's not part of regular CEQA analysis that a municipality can adopt, and we felt important enough to adopt, and now the potential that that could be taken away. I'm just wondering if the city is advocating on the behalf of maintaining the integrity of our general plan when it comes down to potentially making changes to CEQA.
I think you may be talking about two separate things, and I'm going to okay. let the planning director respond more thoroughly to your question.
There are a number of pieces of legislation moving through the legislature that would affect CEQA. Most of them are related back to streamlining the process, whether it's removing aesthetics or other factions of the CEQA law as it stands now. The last attempt to do this failed. We don't know if it will be successful in the next legislative cycle, but people are moving in that direction. It's just a matter of when some sort of streamlining effort will actually be successful. But as of right now, we are under the existing rules, and nothing is estimated to be changing at this point.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that update. It affects our general plan, and this is what we're talking about this evening.
Commissioner Sheeler, we still can have a visual resources element.
Okay.
So a change in the California Environmental Quality Act is not going to change necessarily our general plan unless we choose to change it.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for mentioning that, because I was afraid that may not be the case. Okay, on page 24 of your staff report, they were talking about LAFCO and adoption of sphere of influence for Goleta. And under the summary 2012, it was noted that the LAFCO established sphere of influence did not reflect the city's request for coterminous boundaries. Does that create any issues or any problems? Will LAFCO ever agree with the city's version of coterminous boundaries, or will there always just be that difference?
We would have to apply to LAFCO as we did the last time for a sphere of influence other than the existing sphere of influence that was established by the LAFCO. So we could apply again for a different LAFCO, for a different sphere of influence, or at some point in the future, because our general plan does allow for a modified sphere of influence.
On page 25, we're talking about AB 1600, which is the nexus study for the different kinds of fees that projects pay to pay whatever their fair share is for the kinds of infrastructure that the city is going to require. And one thing that it does talk about in terms of the AB 1600 nexus study is describe and quantify the cost of acquiring land for proposed new facilities and constructing proposed improvements. Well, that's excellent, and that's what we want to do. But on the other hand, does the study include what the sources of money will be that need to be set aside for operations and maintenance of these new capital investments and assets?
I don't want to get out ahead of our AB 1600 study. That is in progress, but I believe you do have to show your costs and your I'm not going to speak with that where I don't know. I know that the AB 1600 study is in progress.
Is that being done in-house or by consultants? And will there be any role for the Planning Commission in AB 1600 nexus study, or even setting thresholds, CEQA thresholds, things like that?
I don't think the AB 1600 study is associated with the CEQA thresholds, but I will let somebody else answer if they can as to the.
We will look into that and get back to you.
I appreciate that. It is something that I'm interested in. On page 20, let's see. Regarding the CEQA thresholds manual, I noted that there wouldn't be any threshold updates until after the zoning code is adopted. Is that accurate? We would continue to retain our current CEQA thresholds until the new zoning code is adopted.
Planning director is shaking her head, okay. Yes. So I'm going to say yes.
And I know the zoning code has been a major endeavor and is getting the big push now and moving ahead, but I've heard timelines that extend it a ways into the future. So apparently that also delays any updating of our CEQA thresholds if it's tied to the completion of our zoning code. Okay. On page 29, we talk about preparation of a greenhouse gas reduction plan. Is that the same as a climate action plan?
Correct. It's just another way of phrasing it.
Thank you for hanging in with me. This
sure.
is all good information. I really appreciate this. Page 32, visual element. This talks about preparation and adoption of story pole / visual simulation procedures. This is a complaint that I would like to make, and I think we've made it before, and that when we've needed this kind of visual implementation and supplementation, it's been lacking in terms of the kinds of story polls that have been provided for the Planning Commission in the past have really been lacking. And I don't know what we'll take and what we'll need for projects in the future to get it right, but I really feel as if we've been let down in that important. I mean, if the visual element is important to us and story polls are part of understanding its impact, we need to do that right. So just thank you for noting that somewhat of a complaint. Okay, I want to move on to page 33, and this is a big one, and so let me hope that I can get this right. It has to do with capital improvements program and budget. And I noticed in certain cases, let me go ahead and move because it's kind of tied to, I believe I've got page 66 here. And page 66 talks about growth analysis. And as we all know, when we went back through the general plan hearings a while back, one thing that was eliminated was the Goleta Growth Management Ordinance. And it was replaced with Policy 11 that talks about the pacing of growth. And it says the city shall ensure that the timing of new development is consistent with resource and service constraints, including but not limited to, and I'm underlining the first one, transportation infrastructure, parks, water supply, sewer system capacity, and energy availability. So now I want to focus in on something that we focused in as individual projects are coming before us, but this gives me more of a chance to approach this in a cumulative fashion looking at the general plan. And it has to do with historic Hollister intersection and the whole issue. Our general plan says that when that degrades to level of service F, we need to do what it needs to be done to get it back to level of service D. I note that at historic Hollister coming up, Westar, Rincon Palms, Cortona Apartments, Cabrillo Business Park, Mariposa, Haskell's Village. UCSB is chiming in with their faculty housing, their San Joaquin development, and the Sierra Madre development. And also, as Ocean Meadows closed down, there will now be housing at Ocean Meadows. All these will have a significant cumulative effect on an intersection that's already so deficient that it's backing up out onto the freeway. and that's Stork Hollister. So now I go back to page 33, and we talk about capital improvements program and budget, and how will these kinds of infrastructure enhancements be able to be funded? And I noticed that occasionally the city, for good reason, reduces development impact fees for particular projects, and that will have to be made up somewhere else, potentially through general fund expenditures. And I was looking at the inventory you've given us of capital improvement projects over the next 5 years, and maybe I didn't see it, but I didn't see anything that was related to fixing the problems that will and be getting worse at Stork Hollister intersection. Just wonder if somebody might address that. I know we've asked for kind of a briefing on that at the Planning Commission level to get an understanding of just how these kinds of things will be mitigated in the future, and I'm still feeling like I don't understand.
Well, there's a lot of parts to your question, I'm going to kind of just hone in on the transportation element. And the way the transportation element set up is looking at our build out, so the allowed growth under our general plan, and then the improvements that are called for in our general plan. So not specifically changing that intersection, but to include changing other areas of the city that then changes the way driver behavior. So, for example, the new overcrossings. And so that just from a big picture perspective, there isn't anything specific that we were going to do at Stork and Hollister. And one of the reasons why is because it's a big intersection. And at the time of our general plan, we looked at that intersection and said, well, we could make the intersection a lot bigger, but does anyone want that kind of look and feel, or do we want a little bit of reduced level of service? And at the time, that was what was chosen, was a little less service, so a little bit more of a backup at that one intersection in the city. So that's the only one. But that's with these improvements that we are collecting fees for, meaning the overcrossings and then some of the other work at the Los Carneros interchange and other interchanges in the city. So from a big picture perspective, we are collecting fees, and part of the AB 1600 study that we'll get back to you on with a little bit more information is intended to address that. And this general plan report isn't a five-year capital improvement program.
Right.
That's a different report that the Public Works Department prepares.
Well, thank you. It was a very big, long-winded question, and I realize that there's a lot of moving parts to try and understand this all. I would just like to say that I would particularly benefit from a better understanding of how all these other alternative modes of reducing demand in that intersection versus expanding the intersection will be successful. I guess I have an air of skepticism about that. Let me move on to page 45, and this talked about farmworker housing at Fairview Gardens. And I guess those farmworker houses are actually included in our housing inventory, and it's my understanding that those are going to be abandoned or have been abandoned, and there won't be farmworker housing at Fairview Gardens. Are you aware of that, or am I off on that?
I'm not aware of that. That doesn't mean that that's not true. I'm just not aware of that.
Okay.
For the 2012 time period.
Okay. And then I noticed that in the report it referred to Goleta's Measure H, which was the passing of the TOT. Isn't that what Measure H was recently? I think it referred to
Measure
that.
Measure H, yeah.
In the report here. And at the same time, there was also Measure G 2012, but I noticed that wasn't mentioned because I believe it does affect potentially the general plan. Would that not be included in this year's update, but maybe next year's update is affecting the general plan?
That certainly can be added into the 2013 report, and that does seem relevant. Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Thank you for bearing with me, everybody. I appreciate this. On page 54, it talks about promoting solar design. And I know that a lot of that is going to be based on developing of a new zoning code being underway and completion of a new zoning code, and solar design will be included presumably within that. And not knowing exactly how long it's going to take to deliver the new zoning code that will have all these features that we're looking for, and this isn't really a question, just to put it into perspective, is that my understanding is that California is looking for all new residential to be considered zero net energy by 2020. So I'm not sure how far the zoning code is anticipating into the future as it's being developed, but hopefully it has some foresight as to what its expectations are going to be, so it will be fairly malleable to be able to update it in the future as these new things come into play. And then lastly, page 67, it has to do with the good cause findings that the Planning Commission is asked to make occasionally, and which ones fall on the list of current projects over time. And just noting that many of these zoning modifications were engendered out of work done by the Design Review Board, mostly for going above whatever the zoning code or general plan height requirements are, and just trying to understand the relationship between the DRB triggering heights that exceed general plan, but then it's up to the Planning Commission to make a good cause finding to substantiate and justify the work of the Design Review Board, and trying to understand what our relationships are best at. So I think unless somebody wants to chime in on that, I'm just going to stop right there. I think I've had all my questions asked and answered to a large extent. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'd just like to thank Commissioner Shelor for those questions. I think they were relevant, and I appreciate the discussion. Thank you.
Did you feel you got your last question answered there? Or are you just going to trail off?
I'll just trail off. I'm sure many of this is to be continued. Thanks.
Okay, it's going to be continued. Good. Okay. Well, that was very educational. I also have a few specific questions, just things that stuck out for me that I didn't quite understand. The first one was on page 26, the feasibility study for open space district acquisition methods. I'm wondering, what was the impetus to that? What kind of spurred that on? The city's just looking for ways to conserve more open space, or can you elaborate on where that came from a little bit?
Sure. The implementation action is intended to increase our inventory of parks and rec, because that way we're keeping pace with our potential future growth. So we want to make sure that the time of the adoption of the general plan, there was a concern, or maybe concerns gone too far, but a desire to ensure that we have enough open space for our residents.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. Couple more here. I guess I'm just trying to understand where some of these things kind of came from and what the goal is of some of these different measures. On page 34, the in lieu fee parking for Old Town. Looking into this, what would the in-lieu fee accomplish for the city or for the citizens of Goleta?
So this implementation action is sort of tied with our zoning code, and it was also assuming that there is a redevelopment agency. So there's some things that we need to address as we look at our parking standards and prepare parking studies, et cetera. So I don't want to go too far into it, because there's been enough that's changed in 2012 that have made some of these implementation actions a little bit tricky.
Okay, understood. But if would I be correct in saying that looking at this in general is just finding ways to provide enough parking but yet not make Old Town feel as if it was full of cars all the time?
Or we well don't said.
Okay, I guess. I don't know. Okay. A couple more here. I thought it was interesting that on page 32, the preparation and adoption of design guidelines, that we still don't have that as a city. I guess I didn't realize that. So I'm looking forward to getting that done, because I think it's extremely, extremely important. Hopefully this will be the year. And my last thing I wanted some clarification on here, again, maybe too general of a question, but I'm just curious, on page 66, Bill or Commissioner Shelor mentioned it as well, the pacing of growth. Who decides what is the right rate of growth for Goleta?
That's kind of a multi-pronged answer, because it does, there's not a one-stop shop. So you have sort of the, you have on one hand a landowner and what their desire is and what is allowed. And then you also have your general plan that allows for a certain, and accounts for a certain amount of build out. And then you have environmental review, and that has certain thresholds and standards. And then you get to other things like the water district and their regulations and the sanitary district. So pacing of growth has a lot of triggers. So there's a lot of eyes on growth just naturally the way our system is run. And then it, then our projects, if they're discretionary, come to the Planning Commission and the City Council. So there's a lot of steps.
Kind of puts it in context for me. Thank you, Ms. Wells. Anyone else?
Madam Chair, thank you for your questions. And actually, looking back, I do have two more, so hopefully this won't take much longer. This has to do with page 56, modify procedures and materials to expedite project review. As we've heard repeatedly from project applicants, time is money, and they're very interested in expediting expediting project review, as we all are. And maybe this may be a question for Mr. Giles. It has to do with the establishment of a concept review process. And I recall when I first started on the Planning Commission, have an opportunity to do, I believe it was a concept review with on the Westar project. And then I've heard that we haven't had the ability to do that recently because there's been a new interpretation of our ability to do concept review, that we wouldn't be seeing things in a de novo capacity. And I just maybe would like to hear from Mr. Giles if concept review is something that the Planning Commission will be able to employ in the future in any capacity.
Well, the determination as to whether or not that is something that will happen in the future is something that the City Council will in due course be able to take up and address. One of the primary concerns that is raised by a concept review is that if a Planning Commission or any other board that has a final decision-making capability gets early on information that's not fully developed, it's not fully publicly vetted out, you may start to formulate ideas and determinations in your mind. You may start thinking about this is a good project or this is a bad project. And the due process concerns are that until you have the noticed public hearing on the full project with the applicant there to be able to present their side and all of the evidence appropriate for you, it's not appropriate to start developing those kinds of thoughts either for or against a project that, that might be out there. So that's the concern, and I think you can appreciate that with a judge. You wouldn't want the judge who's going to be deciding your case to be, you know, receiving information at the outset, you know, having the sheriff or the district attorney coming in and telling them, well, this is what we think about this case that's coming down the line. We think it's a really good case, or we really, you know, here's the issues. And you wouldn't want them to have that kind of a preview information until you had an opportunity to come in and present your case as part of that. So those are some of the concerns that, that we raise and that we want to make sure that are fully vetted out so that the public and the applicant would have a fair hearing, and it wouldn't compromise that by any kind of a concept review.
Thank you, Mr. Giles. If an applicant found that it was acceptable for concept review, would there be anything barring that, or is that their call, or it's prohibited because we're not a charter city?
Well, that's something that, that the City Council's asked us to fully vet out, so we'll be putting together that information and bringing that back to them. But again, as I say, it's more than just the applicant. Our obligation as representatives of the public is to make sure that we have a process that's full, fair to all parties, including the public. You know, so what an applicant might agree to because it's good for them might preclude some other public participation and public development, and we would not want to preclude that as well. So we want to make sure that we're cognizant of all the interests.
Thank you, Mr. Giles. And there was just one remaining question here, and this has to do, and I'm going back to good cause finding, page 67, and it's the very last sentence on the page, and it says, the good cause finding appears to be an effective tool to ensure community compatibility. This tool will be strengthened through the new zoning code. Why does this tool need to be strengthened? does that imply there's been some sort of inadequacy heretofore with the good cause finding?
The zoning code is old and doesn't line up in all places with our general plan. And so that's what that sentence refers to. So our, again, our, some, there are some cases, for example, where our zoning code, our zoning districts do not line up with our general plan land use designation. So that's what it, correcting that will benefit the process.
I understand. Thank you.
All right, thank you, commissioners. There's so much good information here. I'm sure we could all think of endless questions, but if there's anything else pressing? No? Okay. This, do we have a motion or someone care to comment further?
I would like to ask one question, and it probably can't get answered, but has there been a concept time frame for the new zoning ordinance at this point?
It's very preliminary at this point. We're looking at doing a phased approach. There are several things that need to occur as we move forward through the process, and we think we can actually get some immediate action addressing certain elements of the code. Initially, I'm not going to talk about what those might be, but there are some process issues that can be resolved first before we get into development standards and other very minute, detailed type parts of the code. And we'll be coming back to the commission and council with a detailed outline of where we're going to be and how long we think it's going to take. I recognize that there's been a lot of talk about the code over the years, and people have been waiting for it. And so I would just ask that, you know, we are moving forward. But, you know, I've been here 2.5 months, so it takes a while to get everything in place and really get moving and to do a code right. I look at this as we have one shot at this, and we have to do it in a way that is fully informative for the public as well as brings everything into compliance and consistency with the general plan. And that adds a layer of complication to it because of the changes that will be required in the general plan, which sort of takes us back to this discussion tonight.
Thank you.
Well, I can definitely see after reading through this document how intertwined the two things are. There's no doubt about that.
Consistency.
Yeah. Make all of our jobs a lot easier.
Madam Chair, based on that, I'd like to go ahead and make a recommendation that we adopt Resolution 13, next in line, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, recommending to the City Council approval of the General Plan Coastal Land Use Plan 2012 Progress Report for submittal to the Governor's Office of Planning and Research and California Department of Housing and Community Development.
Thank you, Ms. Commissioner Sheeler. I would second that.
Okay. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. That's 3 in favor and 2 abstaining or absent?
Absent.
Absent. Okay. Yes, they're not abstaining. They are just absent. Thank you all. Next is the director's report.
There is nothing to report this evening.
Okay. Any comments, commissioners?
Is the commission going to meet the new attorney, Mr. Giles?
Yes, Commissioner Daniels. Thank you. Present here with us this evening is Deputy City Attorney Winnie Kai. She just recently started with the city, and she will be working on land use issues, and so she'll eventually be sitting with you as your staff counsel for your Planning Commission meeting. So wanted to have her here, opportunity to meet with each of you. She was sworn in, took the oath of office with the City Council last week, and had an opportunity to meet with them as well. So if you have an opportunity, I'd certainly appreciate your welcoming her to the city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome, Ms. Kai. We're very happy to have you.
Thank you.
All right, look forward to seeing you many times in this chamber. Okay, if that's all, then I guess we're up to adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, thank you.